Welcome back to the Gospel Sports Truth Podcast. I hope you guys are having a fantastic week. We get to do one of the things that we do best and we love the most, which is talk about fantasy football. I am your host, Zay, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guy, Young Vander, the Fantasy Nostradamus. Holla at the people, my guy.
Hey, what's going on out there?
So this is actually a time of the year where a lot of shows kind of have to dig for material and start doing weird stuff. Nah, it's all fantasy all the time for this show. So what we are going to be talking about today is we're going to start our series where we go team by team, breaking down the fantasy prognosis for this coming year, looking at the draft, looking at what veterans are out there that may be able to fill some holes in certain instances, or veterans that have already filled holes, and how we think they're going to do with their new landing spots. We're going to break it all down, and we're going to go ahead and start out with some news. With that being said, remember, we are now on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's at The Gospel STP on YouTube. And if you have not joined the Facebook group, join us at the Facebook group. That's The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. All right, so let's go ahead and dive right in. Not a whole lot in the way of news. Your boy out there in San Fran land is a rich man. 5 years, $265 million. Brock Purdy is now the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Okay.
How you feeling about this?
I'm not mad at it.
Okay.
I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, he has the resume. I want to say he's the highest. He has the highest QBR like all time at this moment, something like that. I mean, I know he doesn't throw the ball 80 yards and he doesn't run a 4-5 or those type of things. He hasn't won a championship. But if you his agent and you're looking at his revenue and they're comparing to the guys like the Tuas and the Trevor Lawrence of the world and the Dak Prescott and some of the contracts that these guys got, I mean, what else is he going to get? I mean, he got to get that number that he got. So I think it's fine. I mean, I think it's like 53 a year, something like that. I think he deserves the money. He's not that well. He doesn't have the highest per year number. So I'm not sure if you're referring to like guaranteed money or something like that. But
yeah. So he has $181 million in total guarantees.
Yeah. So
that's a nice chunk of change there. The main thing is I kind of feel like the 49ers have missed their window because
absolutely,
when you had the opportunity to pay a ton of dudes while you didn't have to pay Brock Purdy, there were injuries, there were circumstances, situations where maybe you could have done better than what you did. Right. But now you're in the thick of it, the same as most teams where you have to negotiate a quarterback getting paid what they get paid, and still having to put a team around that quarterback. The thing that's different in San Fran in comparison to some other situations is I don't know for certain that Brock Purdy can maximize the 49ers offense. I know he can manage it. I know he can run it. I don't know that he can maximize it. And if you can't now afford to pay other positions to be able to go above and beyond his skill set to make him look better than he actually is, that could become an issue pretty quickly. They already regret the Brandon Ayuk contract. They just made Kittle the highest paid tight end. They just made Fred Warner the highest paid inside linebacker. So, I mean, they're about to paint themselves into the corner of, we have two guys, three guys maybe on each side of the ball that we paid, and everything else is rookies or veterans that don't mind playing for the minimum just to be able to be a part of this organization.
Yeah.
That's kind of where they're about to find themselves. So
what do you do? Like, quarterbacks don't grow on trees.
They don't.
And we said something about maximize. This dude, what more can you, what further can you go than go to Super Bowl? That's winning, right? But this guy had made a couple trips there. Even got hurt right before that, you know, with the Eagles. They got blown out beforehand and then get to like an NFC championship and lose to him. And they go like, he has outplayed definitely his current salary.
And
he has outplayed 90% of the quarterback in the NFL. Let's just call it.
I can't go that far.
Again, since he came into the league, look at the amount of NFC division trips and Super Bowl trip. He has outplayed 90% of the quarterbacks in his league.
Did he outplay them, or did his team outplay their teams?
Man, listen, you can't have one without the other. It's not like he's out here.
Yeah, you can.
If you look at his numbers, he's not Trent Dilfer. So let's not act like he's just some super game.
No. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm not saying that at all.
I'm saying he is producing. It don't matter. Listen, it don't matter what you have. You can have Justin Jefferson on one side. You can have Jamar Chase on the side. If the quarterback's bad, the quarterback's bad. It don't matter. I get it. He got good skill players around him. That's fine. But there's a lot of teams.
We're talking about two different things, though, because I'm not saying he's bad.
No, I'm just saying, like, he has been out, again, I just said since he came to the league, he's been outplaying 90% of the quarterbacks in this league.
I disagree.
Has been outplaying him. You only can name maybe two or three guys. That's it.
I disagree.
Who? Consistently. Who has been consistently outplaying Brock Purdy?
He hasn't been consistent. So how you... I mean, look.
Come on, man.
There are plenty of quarterbacks that are way better than Brock Purdy. I don't...
Here you go. I never said he was the best. I never said he was better than 90%. I said he's been outplaying 90% of the quarterbacks in his league. He has been.
I think his team has outplayed. So here, two things can be true, right? So when I look at, let's say, for instance, New England Patriots, right? Tom Brady made the players around him a whole lot better. And because he had the ability to do that, they didn't necessarily have to pay anybody out the wazoo because they didn't have anyone who would be able to get paid that much on the free market. What I'm saying is, I don't see Brock Purdy as a force multiplier.
Listen, it's not a huge... Brock Purdy and Tom Brady when it comes to... Tom Brady has had some horrible Super Bowl appearances. Let's not act like Tom Brady has been out here just slinging a rock around doing his thing. He has some high highs, but he has some games that he didn't do anything. They have won Super Bowls where Tom Brady didn't do a damn thing. It is. This Belichick defense has been really good. So some of these Super Bowl wins, he got all these rings, but he hasn't been just out there slinging around, been MVP.
I agree with you on that.
So
you're saying what I'm saying.
No, but what I'm
just saying. Because what I was saying is that the fact that with Brock Purdy, what you just broke down happens more than it did with someone who is actually the reason why his team is winning. I'm not saying Brock Purdy is a bad quarterback. I'm just saying that.
Again, I'm not.
When you're taking that big of a chunk of the salary cap, you have to be now more of a reason why you win, not just a part of a winning solution, because a lot of the key cogs that you could pay before is just mathematics. You don't have the money to pay those dudes no more. So the dude that you're paying a lot has to step up. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know that he's capable of playing much better than he has. So if you get more of what you've already gotten,
he doesn't have to.
If he doesn't get better, but you have players that you now can't afford to play, so you don't have as good of a roster.
Welcome to football.
That goes back to my original point. The window is closed.
Welcome to football. Everybody knows that the best time to win in this game is when you have a quarterback under the rookie contract because you can pay all these other players on the team. Everyone knows that. But this guy, even if he continues to play like he's been playing, he's worth the money. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying if I'm a name, he's not in my top five quarterback. But has he been playing better than, not like I say, 90% of these quarterbacks? Hell yeah. He's been playing that well. He's been playing good enough to get his team in those games, the final fours, the final two. He's been there consistently since he's been at the helm. And since he's the quarterback at the helm, listen, when you lose, they blame you. So when you win, you got to congratulate him. You can't just say, well, he got all these skill players, so Nah, listen, he deserved the same applause, the same as he get the same hate or whatever. So he deserved it. That's all.
No. I agree with that. I agree with that. Philosophically speaking, we're on the same page. All I'm saying is now he's taken up a huge chunk of the cap. So if he's going to play similarly to how he has always played, which again, I'm not saying he's played bad at all. He's played well. If he stays at the same level he's at, but you can't have the same team around him because the cap ain't but so big, where do you go? That's all I'm saying. So hopefully there's a plan C and D, because the plan that was out there to maximize when he wasn't getting paid didn't turn out so well. So that's all I'm saying. You have less toys to play with, and you still got to do as much winning. So fingers crossed. Hopefully everything works out well out there. Normally, Shanahan figures out a way to do something, or there'll be players that'll come out of the woodworks that we didn't see as possibly being able to fill in for some guys that are going. That'll step right up. So we'll see how that works out. Anything else worth mentioning with quarterbacks? Not too much going on. Deshaun Watson's out of his boot. He's tossing the rock at Browns camp. Not that he will be ready for season opening or anything like that, but he is progressing there. Derrick Henry got a 2-year extension with the Ravens. Moving on over to running back. Not a whole lot of other stuff going on there. But dynasty owners, maybe you try to make that push. And maybe the window might be closed, but maybe the Derrick Henry owner is willing to let him go, or maybe you can have the conversation about just compensation, but not what you would have to pay if he was young and as good as he is.
And what would
but
you call
him? You're going to have 2 years.
What type of compensation would that be?
It depends. It depends on the setup of your team and the setup of their team, what their needs may be. If they're stacked at running back, they're probably going to be more likely to let Henry go. If Henry's one of their only dogs at running back, and you're trying to take him, you're probably going to have to give up a running back plus something else. If they're stacked at running back, you may just be able to give up a wide receiver that's in the same vein, or maybe a wide receiver and a pick that's sort of in the same vein. Maybe a Mike Evans and a 2026 second. I would look at that as being pretty equal. However, it's going to depend on the team makeup. You may have a team that has Henry that's in rebuild mode, and they don't want any of your players. They just want your picks. If I know that my pick is going to be a back end first, I give up a back end first for Henry. I wouldn't add anything else to that in Dynasty, just so we're on the same page. But I give a back end first for a guy that I'm going to be able to trot out there barring injury for 3 years before he rides off into the sunset. So I'd be fluid with it, but I'm not trying to jump out the window on it. But if I can set it and forget it at the running back position, I would prefer to do that and take my chances at
well, that's why
wide receiver is a little bit easier to catch a guy, to get a guy that just happened to come through fruition. Running back is a little bit more difficult to catch a guy before everybody knows about the guy, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm a Henry owner in the dynasty, and he's going to retire with me. I think he's one of those guys you just let retire with you. I mean, I think he.
But it depends on how many running backs you got.
I don't give a damn, because it doesn't.
I would.
Because his finish is always, he's been consistent, and I'm not going against him. I don't give a damn.
I get that. I'm not talking about his finish. What I'm saying is, let's say I can get a guy who might not finish where Henry does. Let's say I get a guy who's kind of volatile, but we would all consider him to be good. Let's say Breece Hall, right? Breece Hall is like 23, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as consistent as Henry. However, I would prefer to have a guy that I'm going to be able to have for the next 7 years versus a guy that's not going to get a contract after these two.
No, no, don't do it. Don't do it, people. Don't take no damn Breece Hall for no damn Henry. I mean, I'm being honest.
I didn't say I would trade Breece Hall for Henry. I say I would rather have Hall than Henry.
Not me.
As far as when you were saying that you want Henry to retire with you.
Yeah.
If depending on who else I have in my running back stable, I'm willing to bolster other positions and let the elder statesman go. And that's any position in Dynasty. I don't care what position it is. That's just the name of the game. I'm not above trading anybody. I don't care who they are, how many points they put up.
So if you're the Henry owner and someone sends you Breece Hall, would you accept it?
Yeah.
No, hell no.
Immediately.
Don't do that, people. Don't do it. Absolutely. I'm gonna tell you this.
It's not even close. Listen, in Dynasty? Yeah. I would.
Nah, it's look here. People always get caught up in this whole thing about youth. Oh, he's only 23. He's only 23. Who gives a damn about a 23-year-old who ain't doing nothing? Like, sometimes, and I'm not saying it's Hall specifically, but a lot of people get caught up in this age thing and they say, oh, this guy's only 22. This guy's only 22. This guy's only 23. I don't give a damn. I want production. And he could be very well out of the league in the next 3 years. If I know Derrick Henry's going to play 2 more years for me and I can get them Derrick Henrys for 2 more years, I don't give a damn about a 23-year-old Breece Hall who look like he's going to be in a committee this year, and that committee can drop his stock. Now, who knows where he ends up next, if he ends up anywhere. We've seen running backs come and go in this league, be young, and leave out early. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott is like only 28 years old, 27. He's young as hell. But I'm just saying, like, there's been a time when someone said, Zeke's only 23. I'm keeping him. He's Zeke. I'm keeping him because he's 23. Doesn't matter, because you can be young and be ass. You know what I'm saying? So give me the.
But that's not Breece Hall's situation. I mean, Breece Hall, in general, I agree with you. But when we're talking about those two specifically.
Hell no.
Yeah, I'm taking 23-year-old Breece Hall versus taking 31-year-old Henry. I'm sorry.
Get it.
In that situation, age matters. No, and because of what you said, production, I'm going to, now, barring injury, which nobody can predict, I'm going to have him for years.
That's the only difference. I hope
Henry don't get hurt next year.
I ain't worried about Henry getting hurt. I'm just saying you hope to. The thing is, injury is one thing, but as far as just being in this league is another thing. Just because Hall is young don't mean he's going to be around forever. The running back, hold on. Running back is one of them. Is probably the most replaceable position. Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing as a rookie, and what happened from there? I mean, so it's not really about, oh, he's young, so da-da-da. Nah, man. Hey, if you got a Henry on your team, don't do that. You better die with him. Certain people in life need to die out of their position. I feel that way about certain coaches, because when I see the team, I see the coach. Certain people should never get fired. It should just stay there and then just die out of the position. Like I felt about Joe Paterno, or how I felt about Bobby Bowden. It's just certain people just need to stay there and they die out or let them quit on their own. And
that's all well and good when you don't have to replace that person on the Dynasty team. You can follow your path. My path is more along the lines of Bill Belichick. I'm going to get rid of you a year too early before I get rid of you a year too late. I'd rather have assets in the coffers versus, because one thing we do know for sure, the Father Time is undefeated.
Shit.
I don't care who it is. Father Time is undefeated.
That's not true.
No matter how you slice it.
That's not true. Tell Tom Brady.
That's not true.
Tell
who?
Tom Brady that.
Say again.
Tell Tom Brady that. Tell LeBron James that. We have seen these anomalies. We have seen people break that mold. Yeah, most of the time you're correct. But we have seen guys that have, I'm different.
Okay, if you're talking about the greatest of the great, sure. That ain't that.
That's what Henry is. Henry's a Hall of Fame running back. He's the greatest of the greats. He's a Hall of Fame running back already.
I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm saying he's not LeBron or Tom Brady. Like, what?
He's one of the best players that ever ran the ball.
One of the best and the best is two different conversations.
Don't matter. Don't matter.
What you mean it don't matter?
I'm talking about Father Time. I'm just giving you an example of a guy that has been breaking the mold because the last 3 years, people been saying the same exact thing. Get rid of
No. Let's make sure we're on the same page. I'm not saying that Henry isn't worth having. What I'm saying is if we're talking about a dynasty situation and if I'm not in a win now window, what good is Henry doing for me? The first thing that I said is it depends on how your team is made up. If my team ain't going to be championship worthy by the time he's out of time on this contract, what did I gain by him being on my dynasty?
Oh, yeah, well, that's different. If you're trying to rebuild.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to depend on the team.
Henry, that's anybody at that point. I mean, if you're in a big rebuild, but I mean, you talking about Breece Hall? Nah, that ain't rebuilding them.
But no, what I'm saying is that's a 23-year-old running back that barring injury, when my team is ready to win, he will still be running the ball. That's my point.
Maybe. You hope he will be. You hope.
Well, I know Henry won't have a if this is his last.
He could be
it
like
does matter. If like my team ain't going to be good for another 2 years, why would I get a guy that's 31 years old and running back?
He could be the next Ezekiel Elliott.
Somebody
that's
young. There are a whole lot more running backs that were still good at the age of 25 than there are running backs that were still top-notch at the age of 34. That's just the truth.
Who 34?
Ain't that how old Henry going to be in 3 years?
Oh, in 3 years, maybe 30.
He's 31 now, ain't he?
Maybe. In 3 years, yeah. But if you're trying to win, keep him. If you're in win now mode,
absolutely. Yeah.
If you're in a big rebuild, and take
it depends on team makeup.
If you're in a big rebuild, same take chicks. Don't take no damn haul. I'm sorry.
Jaden Reed. It's looking like he's trying to put on a little bit of weight, maybe to be able to carry a little bit more of a load. There are a ton of wide receivers in the Green Bay wide receiver room, and it looks like he's trying to see what he can do to make things a little bit easier to be the pick of the litter, if you will. What's your prognosis for Reed? And do you think that the amount of running backs that are currently in the room helps or hurt?
Jaden Reed? You said
yeah.
Jaden? I mean, man, that's, I like him. I think he's probably one of the most talented. His skill set, if any of these wide receivers in that room you'd rather have, it'd probably be Jaden Reed due to his skill set, due to him to be able to take the jet sweeps, the yak, different things of that nature. You know, can hit his head on the goalpost from anywhere. But that being said, this room is just, it's not only is crowded, but it's just, who's a guy? You know what I'm saying? There's no, even with drafting a guy like Golden this year, I don't even think he's a guy. He's not a number one wide receiver to me. So now he's in a room with a bunch of threes and fours and twos, you know what I mean? Maybe a little two. But threes, it's like a room full of threes. So I think he's the one to own if you had one, but I'd rather not have any of them, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. So what would you think fair compensation for him would be? If you have him and you want to move them?
Oh, man. He's young, like you said, right? I'll take a second for him.
Okay.
I'll take a second for him.
And he also may not be in Green Bay, but for so much longer based on how many people they got there. So that's another piece of that puzzle that we have to wait on as well. Not a whole lot else going on in the news. A piece of the news we'll actually talk about within the main topic of the show. So let's just go right ahead and hop into that. Let's break down. Starting out with the NFC East, we're going to go over Dallas and Philly today, and then we'll go over the Giants and the Commanders on the following week. So, Dallas, you have Dak Prescott at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
At running back, not 100% sure who's going to be the starter, but Javonte Williams is there. They did draft Jaden Blue. Miles Sanders is there. Deuce Vaughn is still there. At wide receiver, they had one of the offseason big trades, if you will, getting George Pickens for what was a third-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. So Already having C.D. Lamb and Jalen Tolbert with Jake Ferguson at tight end. What's your overall prognosis for this team as we look at their skill positions, kind of trying to figure out what things will flesh out in fantasy this year?
I love it. I think you should try to get everybody on this offense. My targets will definitely be Dak Prescott due to his ADP. I think it's way too low. And also CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, to me, is wide receiver two. I know there's a lot of people saying this, that, and the third, but it's chasing him. I'm taking him over Jettis at this point. We've seen the kind of year CeeDee can have with Dak Prescott at the helm. He's back, and now he should see a little bit more favorable coverage with George Pickens there with him. And I think if you're targeting this running back room, I'm going after Jaden Blue. Right now, it's probably going to be a carousel, but we've seen Javonte, and we've seen Miles Sanders. We know what they can do. Jaden Blue is kind of like the rocket in the building. He's fast. I think he can go there and take that and take that job. So I'd rather have Jaden Blue if I had to, but I'm not really attacking the running back room. I think the skill positions are, as far as wide receivers and tight ends, are the guys to go with. I don't think you can lose anybody, but I definitely love Dak Prescott. I like him to be back in the top five overall to finish. And CD again to be definitely top five, but yeah, definitely top five wide receiver as well.
What do you think the range of outcomes is with George Pickens being on the team? Does that hurt CD in any way? Does that help him because there's now another receiver out there? What does that do for George Pickens? How are we feeling about the duo in and of itself? Do you think that they'll kind of trade weeks, or it's built as such that CD is going to be the volume guy, but then mm-hmm. Pickens is likely to be the guy that gets it in like two plays or however mm-hmm. that works out? Or,
absolutely.
Okay. So
the same way they used like a Brandon Cooks in the past, Tolbert in the past, Michael Gallup in the past, where I think, you know, if they get the one-on-one coverage, they're going to let Pickens go. They're probably going to try to throw it over there. It's going to be a lot of 50-50 balls, one-on-one. They're probably going to bet on Pickens. So I think he's going to be one of those guys that definitely get it a lot and, you know, get it a lot in chunks, where CD is going to just jab, 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 jab all game long. You know what I mean? Working you from 20 to 20, I think Pickens will be the guy that knock you out. Big 64-yard play. You know, those type of balls. I think mm-hmm. a lot of those stat line in the game be something like four catches, 108, and a touchdown, that type of game. With him getting that type of game, CD can still get his 10 balls and whatever, and his, you know what I mean? So I think they can coincide, if that's what you're asking. I think they both can coexist together very smoothly, easily. It's enough balls out there. I mean, this is a passing league, so there's enough. I mean, we see guys 50 attempts, right? 50-plus attempts passing the ball, so there's enough to go around for everybody.
How do you feel about this running back situation?
I think Blue eventually will. I think Miles Sanders may be the guy in the beginning, because I like him better than like Javonte. Javonte's younger, but I think I like Miles Sanders better, because Miles Sanders, he got the money in Carolina, didn't show a lot, but when he got an opportunity late in the season last year, he won me some paper, you know, on that game he had. But I think I like Miles Sanders to maybe start it off, and I think Jaden Blue eventually takes over this room. Especially in the pass catching, come out the backfield, super fast. So I think that's the way to go. So in a dynasty league for myself, I actually own both of them. I drafted Jaden. I think I might have signed Jaden Blue at the free agent list, to be honest with you. I don't even think he got drafted. And I already have Miles Sanders. So I think those would be the two guys to own if you kind of handcuffing it, per se. Not Javonte for me.
So you don't think that another year removed from his injury, Javonte could get back to what we saw early on with the Broncos?
I ain't really a fan of these North Carolina running backs, man. They ain't really be showing me nothing. He just hasn't looked that good. I'm not sure if it's the injury. I know he's another year removed. That's good. I'm not sure this offensive line is better than the Broncos offensive line, right? That's one thing as well. So he may be going to an offensive line that's not even good as the one he came from. I just think there's better guys in the building. And he may get a shot, but I just think Miles will probably be the guy eventually. He's a vet. But then Jaden Blue would probably be the guy when it's all said and done who's running with the ball.
Well, let's move on over to the Eagles. So with this setup, obviously we have Jalen Hurts, we have AJ Brown,
yep.
We have Devonta Smith, Jahan Dotson, Dallas Goedert. They tried to move on from him, but no one was willing to bite this offseason. So Goddard is still in the fold. As far as running back is concerned, we obviously have Saquon Barkley. They brought in A.J. Dillon. They have Will Shipley coming in third there and not really a whole lot else behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess with the Eagles, my biggest question is the range of outcome for Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last offseason after we found out that Barkley was going to be an Eagle. And we told people to temper your expectation as far as the total amount of touchdowns that Hurts would get now that he didn't have to be the running back on goal line packages. And you saw he went from being an almost guaranteed top five guy based on the amount of rushing touchdowns that you get, and also based on how your league scores, because in some leagues you get extra points when it's a rushing touchdown versus a passing touchdown. Mm-hmm. So we saw Jalen Hurts kind of take a hit. He ended up being a back end quarterback one versus being a front end QB one. Do you see that same or similar outcome, or does he regress a little bit back towards the mean and maybe instead of being QB 8 or 9, he inches up towards QB 4 or 5? What's the range of outcome as we talk about quarterbacks first here with the Eagles?
Well, I mean, he did finish kind of low end QB 1, but he did not play the last two games. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to consider. He didn't throw the ball as well as he did the two seasons prior. But nah, man, you rock out with Hurst and you play him. I think he's still a high QB 1. He finished like round 8 or 9. It depends on your league he was in. But I still think he's a 5 to 6 guy. So not too far from where he should be. I think it's just per usual. I don't think you sit here and think about too hard about this thing. Now, that being said, let's see with this voting thing. I've been hearing around in circles where they're going to be voting on this tush push thing, right? That changes a lot because he's probably sneaking 8 touchdowns a game with that. You know what I'm saying? 8 touchdowns a season just doing that little move there. So at that point, if it's barred, for instance, that now increases Saquon Barkley's value.
Hey, I'm about to say, if they do that,
yeah,
Saquon Barkley should be the number one overall pick in redraft. If they get rid of the tush push,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, number one overall. I'm picking them number one overall. Legit. Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're going to just allow the regular quarterback sneak and not allow people to get behind you and push. So I'm not sure what the rules are going to be at this point. I think it should stay the same. I think it's just people just crying about it's a play that's been in this game forever. Like, come on, man. Y'all gave it a little cool nickname, but nah, this is a regular quarterback sneak. I've been running this thing on Madden since Madden. You know, you get on the goal line and just, you know, I've been doing that for 30 years. How long Madden been around, right? But nah, I think he's the guy. I mean, don't overthink it. But I will pay attention closely to those rules and see what happens, because that changes him drastically, in my opinion. Because he can't get those 6, 7 rushing touchdowns. Those 6, 7 rush touchdowns will not be probably Barkley's touchdowns, right? And if you watch Eagles games, you know what I'm talking about. It seems like Saquon always falls at the one. It's like he never, if he doesn't walk himself in the end zone, he's not getting the ball. It's like we're 2, 3 yards from there, we're going to quarterback sneak it. That's what they've been doing. They haven't really been turning around giving him the ball. So it's really important to watch that rule when it comes to Hurts.
Let's go ahead and talk about Saquon Barkley. What's his range of outcome?
Man, I tell you what, he looked great, right? He looked great last year behind a way better offensive line. I think we've seen the guy that we know he could be in New York. That being said, he did reach that threshold of carries last year. I'm not sure what that magic number is. It's something like 3.
Oh, and I don't know if this matters about your decision. He's the Madden cover guy. I don't know if that's
more, right? You put it on.
I'm just saying,
he coming off a damn near 14 touch season. including the playoffs, and then they're gonna turn around and put him on the cover. It's like, sheesh. Like, so I'm afraid of him for those couple reasons, I think. But he looks spry. I think he looks good. Again, this is one of the best offensive lines in football. And it just, when you put the best offense, one of the best offensive lines, maybe top three, with a top three running back, and, you know, maybe the best, this, what the recipe going to be? You know what I'm saying?
I can't really think of a better running back. I can think of comparable running backs.
I'll tell you what. I put you like this, right? I haven't seen the two combined. Like, sometimes you have a decent offensive line, good running back, or good offensive line and okay running back. I probably haven't seen the combination of running back meets offensive line maybe since the days of Terrell Davis. And, you know,
yeah,
guys like Emmitt Smith, where the running back was just as good as offensive line, and then you, boom, you know what I'm saying? You get a magic. So, you really see the two come together, and that happened there. But you don't get cute, you know what I'm saying? I know he's on the cover of Madden. Don't, so like Zay said, don't hear what I'm not saying, right? Don't get cute. You pick this guy early. He's probably going like one or two in most leagues. It's either him or Jamar Chase at this point, right? So you take him.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you take him. I know in my redraft, he'd probably be the first guy off the board, but yeah, he's been looking amazing down the stretch last year. So you take him.
Let's dive into this wide receiving core. So we have A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Jahan Dotson. One of the stronger wide receiving cores in the league, for sure.
You think so?
I really believe so. I think A.J. Brown, if – I'll put it to you like this. If there was a different circumstance as far as running back is concerned and they needed to lean on the wide receivers, I think you would be able to see how good that wide receiving core truly is. But A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are both great wide receivers. Jahan Dotson is pretty good as a third. And I'll loop into that receiving core, Dallas Goedert, who's like, you know, steady Eddie. I mean, as long as he's out there, he's your end zone guy. He's probably your first down guy, too, unless it's short and you're handing the ball off to Saquon. So
yeah,
I kind of feel like they don't have any holes as far as the Eagles are concerned. Like, both the offensive and defensive lines are good. The receivers are good. The quarterback is good. Tight end is good. Running back is good. Like
it's only injury at this point.
It's injury. Yeah, it's injuries. Injury is the only thing that could derail them. That's the only thing that I can see derailing the fantasy season for any of these guys that we would be dependent on as well. Outside of injury, it's going to be status quo. Now, this is what I would do. If I'm the Jalen Hurts owner, and I am a Jalen Hurts owner in the league, I may attempt to see if I can sell him for the number one overall QB price, which has been in his range of outcomes. But then we're also looking at a similar situation where, because of, not because he lost talent, but especially again, if they ban the tush push, like you might actually want to have him sold before they ban it. So that way people don't be like, you ain't going to get me with that. Because people then run completely the opposite other way and then have, in trying to give you pennies on the dollar for him, like he just, not going to be able to play football anymore. You don't have to deal with that either. So I would say now is probably the time that I would attempt to sell him as a top three quarterback. That as far as being is his range of outcomes, and maybe you can get a guy that most people don't respect this much, but barring injury, they're going to end up almost in the same spot. Mm-hmm. Maybe a guy like a Dak Prescott with his new toys in town. Mm. They're going to be within, I would say, 3-4 spots of each other, if that. And that may be determined by one touchdown. Like normally, fantasy points, when we're not looking at the number one, number two, number three guys, like the guys from like 4 to 10 were separated by like one bad week or something stupid like that. So if I can get a whole nother starter plus a quarterback that on any given week may outplay the guy that I'm giving up and maybe a mid to late round pick, I'd probably entertain that. I would look at trying to figure
what
out
about some of these younger quarterbacks. Is this some of these younger quarterbacks that you would be in the trade with? And if so, give some of the people some examples of some of the younger quarterbacks they maybe should target. Because some people like, you know, and that's one thing I like to do. Sometimes I'm fine. Now, at the quarterback position, I'm fine with dialing back 2 or 3 years to the next level of quarterbacks, if that makes sense. Sometimes you get the quarterbacks and they get up in age and they get to a point and you can, like you just said, you can dial it back maybe 3 spots in the finish, but the years are probably like 5, 6 years apart. But the one guy you have name is bigger. So like a Lamar Jackson or somebody, you have a Pat Mahomes, that's a great one, where you have the bigger name and you kind of dialing back to Caleb Williams or you dialing back to one of these other guys
that
he could finish within 3 or 4 spots from him. And now you just bought yourself another maybe 5 or 6 years in this league or something of that nature. So give the
my quintessential guy for that move, Justin Herbert.
So if you're saying it's Justin Herbert, would you try to get more players on top of Herbert to get for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So give me just like 2 examples, one using picks and one maybe using an additional player.
So give me Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
A 2026 second round pick. Wait. You said don't mix the picks and players?
No. You can use one example where you use the pick and use one example where you like 2 players for one type.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I tend to mix picks and players to kind of make it a little bit more appetizing if I don't know the direction that the player generally goes. Some players in your league, you know, they couldn't care less about picks. Ain't no point in you trying to push them to them. Some players, you know, once a player hits a certain age, even though this isn't something that we look at, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want them. If it's me and I can move I can move Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I can get a Justin Herbert or even like a Caleb Williams, like, but dialing it down some based on recent fantasy finishes. And then let's say I can add to that maybe a Higgins or a Ladd McConkey, or if I'm going to get a pick as well, if I get a back end first, I'd even be willing to take a Jacoby Myers, not a sexy name, but he's finished as a top end wide receiver too, which is quintessential for the flex spot. So if I can get a guy that on any given week is going to outperform the quarterback that I just gave up, but he's going to be within 3 to 4 spots of the quarterback I just gave up, and I got a whole nother starter, which also means my bench just got a little bit deeper because a guy that I would have had to start, I'm now benching, and I'm starting that other guy. And I got that second-round pick or back in first to kind of solidify what I have going on in the future. I'm going to do that several times over with a few different players and really stockpile talent in building the future of my team. And then I'm going to turn right back around and I'm going to give up that back end first and go get Derrick Henry. So now I just turned my team that was 2 years away into a win now team based on going out and using a back end first and a front end second and getting Derrick Henry and Mike Evans. Now I have a win now team instead of a team that's going to win in 2 years. But moving on from a guy like a Jalen Hurts or a Lamar Jackson, when you can get several assets for it, several startable assets and future assets for dynasty, I'm willing to do that. And in some situations in redraft, I'm willing to do it, but it's less likely that I'm willing to do it in a redraft than dynasty.
So what's with a rookie in mind? Let's say, for instance, would you take Justin Herbert and like Luther Burton?
I wouldn't want to take the chance on Burton specifically, Only because there are a lot of mouths to feed, all the way from the wide receivers to the running backs to the tight ends in that Chicago offense. And I don't know who's going to end up being the odd man out. And I don't necessarily want to bet on that, because I do know if Burton ends up being the odd man out, he's not going to be the guy that leaves, because he's going to be the cheaper player to pay. So, but if you give me, let's say you give me.
What about Herbert and Waddle?
You said Waddle?
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle in Miami?
Yeah.
Waddle along with
Herbert for Hurts.
This is personal. It's fair. But he stay hurt too much for me. And if he's not playing, then I'm at a deficit, because not only do I not have Waddle, now I have an inferior quarterback as well. So I would probably go younger than Waddle and bank on a guy that hasn't failed me yet, versus a car that's conked out several times, and every time it conks out, it's an engine or a transmission. It's never nothing cheap. Like, it's never nothing that's going to be fixed this week. It's 3-4 weeks. I wouldn't want to. But maybe let's say I know this may be poking the bear a little bit, but let's just say the guy that started his rebuild wasn't too happy with his rebuild. And that guy had Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams. I'm going to take that pairing and run off happy.
I don't think you're going to get that. That's a little much.
Here's the thing. The same way you look at production, some people are too quick to call a bust. But the same way you look at, I don't care how old they are, as long as they're producing, there's been some people that have been burnt by rookies before that may have that sour taste in their mouth that'll make a knee-jerk reaction.
Well, the thing is this. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't even have a bad year. He had a good year.
He didn't.
But the thing is,
he didn't have the season that a lot of people thought he might.
Right. Well, when you compare it to neighbors and then, you know, Brian Thomas Jr., then people going to say, oh, his year wasn't that good. But we just talking about rookie wide receiver years. He had the same, it's funny, he had the identical year that his father had.
He did. Right. Yeah.
So he's on pace. I don't think people want to give up on him too fast. He's definitely not a bust. Let's start there. He's not a bust.
From you, I would not be able to get him at that price.
Right.
But I'm telling you, to someone that drafted Caleb and Marvin Harrison and thought that they were going to be the cure for everything that ails them, and now you're offering them Hurts, you might get countered. They might ask for a little bit of sauce. They might ask for some ketchup on the fries. But they're going to entertain your value meal. That's all I'm saying. Because some people don't want to wait for the turnaround, even if the turnaround really wasn't. If Marvin Harrison didn't have Murray giving him his behind the kiss at the beginning of the season, his end of the season numbers would have looked a lot closer to his counterparts. But a lot of people forget that. For the first month of the season, you had his quarterback giving quotes like, it ain't my job to throw him the ball. Like, really? Whose job is it if it's not yours? Like, you had all that to deal with at the beginning of the season before he actually started catching on. So a lot of times people will have a sour taste in their mouth that isn't the true story. All I'm saying is I would kick the tires. I would even take a lesser quarterback than Caleb if I could get a Marvin Harrison in the deal. If you gave me Marvin Harrison and I'm trying to think of who would be Brock Purdy. I'll take Brock Purdy. Because Brock Purdy in fantasy and Brock Purdy in real life is two different things. Brock Purdy deserves his flowers in real life. In fantasy, I see him as a QB2. I would take him and Harrison for Hurts.
Is there any wide receivers that you would take head up for, like a Marvin Harrison, like a Higgins or a, you know, guys like Terry McLaurin or like?
I would take Neighbors. Wait. For Hurt straight up?
No, we're talking about Marvin Harrison.
Oh, Marvin Harrison. You said what other quarterbacks I would take for him straight up, or other wide receivers?
Wide receivers. Like, what wide receivers would you take for him as well? Like, I kind of see his range the way you see him. Like a Higgins.
I like him better than Higgins because Higgins don't have the opportunity to become the number one wide receiver of his team.
But does he have to?
Or the number one target person on his team.
Does he have to?
If I'm giving up Harrison, because that's what I believe Harrison's ceiling is. So if I'm going to trade Harrison for someone else, they have to have within their range of outcomes being able to be the number one target on their team.
I mean, but that being said, we've seen Higgins finish in front of a lot of wide receiver ones as a wide receiver two on his team.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think it's going to happen. You asking me to compare him to Harrison, and you have to understand the esteem that I have Harrison in. Oh, yeah. So I if you're asking me would I trade Harrison straight up for Higgins, I would not. There are only a few guys that I would trade him for. They're the guys that other people probably would not give up for him, obviously. If I have Neighbors and he outperformed them, why would I do that? If I have Thomas and he outperformed them, why would I do that? If I have Jefferson, if I have Chase, if I have these guys of this ilk, why would I do that? But the guys that come up right after them is where I kind of feel Harrison is going to be anyway. So I'm not going to give him up for a guy that just happened to be there for 1 year or two when I think that he can be solidified there over the next several years, if that makes sense. So that's the difference. And again, that's my Buckeye. I look at him a little bit different than most. I've been telling people what Scary Terry would look like if he ever got a quarterback and people was calling me crazy. But I mean, like, these are guys that I literally saw every single snap that they had in college, and I have a certain affinity for, if you will. But it also isn't fandom over common sense either. Like, as you said, he had the same rookie numbers as his Hall of Fame father, and I don't see him slowing down. I don't see him starting the next season with the same negativity between him and his quarterback that they started this season with. That alone puts him, if he has the consistency that he had towards the end of last year, puts him as a wide receiver one. So before I trade him, I may have to, I think he's more of a trade for candidate if you can get him than a trade candidate, because the future that I see him having, most people aren't going to be willing to pay for it now, unless you see that same future that I do. Do you see it the same way? Or do you see it a little
bit? I like Harrison, man. I like him. I think he's going to be just fine. I think it's kind of a small overreaction. People haven't quite jumped out the window yet. But again, like I say, due to the years that you see Neighbors had and BTJ have, they was getting peppered with targets, especially Neighbors. I think like second leading target, right? So behind Chase. So I think if Harrison would have got that same volume, he would have had a better year. But I like what I've seen on the field. I just think his quarterback is kind of, you know, drank his own Kool-Aid, little narcissist, little arrogant, and don't want to share the light. You know what I'm saying? He's just one of them kind of guys. So due to that, I mean, he hasn't really been getting the targets that he deserved in that offense because, I mean, let's face it, he's the best receiver on the team. So
I really feel like Murray, he may have a bit of an ego issue where the limelight that was on him previous is now on his right receiver, and he's like the guy that just happens to be there. He don't like that. But I also believe that he kind of got over that as the season went along. And we'll hear, you know, how things are lining up in OTAs and all that kind of good stuff. And we'll be able to kind of keep you abreast as to the moves that you may want to make based on the things that we're hearing. Next week, we are going to be talking about the Giants and the Commanders, and we'll kind of move along from there until we have tackled every team for this week. That pretty much wraps it up for us. And remember, you guys, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth.